Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Lift our hands up and just bless the name of the Lord. Just thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for his love. Thank him for everything. Give him all the praise. Give him all the worship. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we be seated? Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to your left and right and welcome someone to church. With a good handshake, warm one. Once again, to your left and right, excitedly welcoming someone to church. I'm sure some of you are aware of my parents. Amen. They're in church. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. We can be seated. They're in church today. So tonight we want to talk about kingdom responsibility. 1st Firstly, I'm sure over the years I have reiterated over and over the message of the kingdom, and you should be aware of what the kingdom is already, isn't it? The kingdom is a king and his domain. It's a monarchy, a one-man rulership. In other words, there is no kingdom without a king. Hallelujah to Jesus. So the king determines the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is a function of the king. Are we together? And so over and over in scripture, we have seen how that God came to give us a kingdom. That's the chief purpose of God coming to the earth in Christ Jesus. Let's see Luke 4. And 24. And that's the message everyone preached. Everyone preached. Is it verse 24? From 43, I mean. Luke 4 from 43. Can we read together, everybody? See? One to go. Can we see in the TPT rendition? Let's read out loud. One to go. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's see in the Amplifier rendition. The Amplifier rendition. One, two, go. Jesus, in the middle of his ministry, is telling us that this is the reason why he came to the earth. And somewhere at the beginning of his ministry, in Mark 1:14, he said that too. Let's see it. Mark 1:14. Give me in the NKJV, just the NKJV. Now, this is after John was beheaded, right? So now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what did he say in verse 15? Let's read together. Everybody read. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God, repent and believe in the gospel. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Jesus is saying the time is fulfilled. It's time for the kingdom of God to hit the whole world. Amen? And he's a king. That is why in Luke 17, when they were asking of the kingdom, or signs for the kingdom to find expression. Let's see Luke 17 from verse 20. Luke 17 from verse 20. Let's read together. I want to go. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisee, he said, the kingdom of God does not come with what? Observation. Next part of scripture. Nor will they say, and he meant for himself that the kingdom of God is what? Within them. Because the kingdom is a king and his word is domain. And I know if you think deeply, you'll be wondering, if Jesus came for his kingdom, then why did the Bible say, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only what? Begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. If he came for his kingdom, then how is it connected to we humans? How is it connected? Because the Bible said he came for us. He doesn't want us in sin. Why? Let's read the Bible in Revelation chapter 1 from verse 5. And you'll see the answer. So why did he have to die for us? Even though the Bible had said he came for his kingdom. Let's see the Amplifier rendition. Everybody, let's read together. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and what? The firstborn from the dead. And what? To him who always loves us and who has once and for us freed us. Or what? Why did he do all of this? Next part of scripture. So that we are formed into a word. His what? Priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power and the majesty and dominion forever and ever. So why did he die for humanity? Because we are the subject of his kingdom. We are the ones that will make up his kingdom. Are you seeing the connection now? And Satan, if Satan wants to negate this plan of God, then he will cause you to keep on working in sin. Because you see that the algorithm to becoming subject of his kingdom, verse 5 of Revelation says, it is that we were freed from our sins by his precious blood, which is represented by his sacrificial death. So Jesus died to save us from our sins. Are you listening? To remove sin from the way, because sin was a limitation to his kingdom dream finding expression through you and I. And you see, God is not greedy. God is not greedy. You know, somebody may say, so he did all of this thing because of himself. No. If you look at it, sin destroys you, it does not destroy God. Everything that God said you should not do is against you. Everything that God says you should do is for you. Let's take for instance, when you smoke, it works against you. When you take alcohol, it works against you. When you fornicate, it's called sin against the body. It works against you. When you commit adultery, it works against you. Isn't it? You can go on and on and mention a lot of sins that is what? Working what? Against you. But everything God said you should do is working for you. God said you should not sin.
And if you don't, you would not sin, you will actually, now beyond going to heaven and or beyond becoming subject of his kingdom, you have good health. If you don't smoke, you are stronger than somebody that smokes. If you are not subjected to alcohol, you are stronger than somebody that is subjected to alcohol. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you don't womanize or manize, you are stronger and in health than somebody that does the opposite. Are you seeing that everything God says you should not do is working for you? So, like we said, the kingdom is a king and his domain. It's a monarchy. And God is our king. Now, the sphere of his kingdom or the sphere of his rulership is not subjected just to the heavens. Now, at a time, it was subjected just to the parameters of the heavenlies. That's why certain places in scripture, you see the Bible explaining the kingdom and calling it the kingdom of heaven. Why is it called the kingdom of heaven? Because it had not yet gone beyond the parameters of the heavens yet. God's rulership had not yet at that time gone beyond the parameters of the heaven. The Bible said, heaven is my throne and what? The earth is my footstool. God speaking. Meaning God's kingdom naturally from the very basic is supposed to be beyond the parameters of the heavens. But because of sin and the fall of the devil, there was a negation. I even get what I'm trying to say. There was a negation. One third of the angels left heaven, isn't it? According to the story of the Bible. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? So there was a negation. And the only space where God's full authority finds expression is the space called heaven. Alright? Now, God doesn't want to be limited to that space, heaven. That is why he sent Jesus to come to the earth. Because from the very basic, the sphere of his authority is supposed to go beyond the heavens to the earth. Because he created the heaven and the earth. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And the only way this can become a reality is through man. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? The only way God's kingdom dream, what I mean by God's kingdom dream is this, God having rulership beyond the heavens to the earth will find expression is through man. That is why he sent Jesus. But from the very beginning, before sending Jesus, he created man in his what? Image and what? Likeness. What did he tell man? Have dominion. That word dominion is a Hebrew word that if it's interpreted in the Greek, it means a kingdom. And how sure am I? Matthew 24 and 34. Let's read together. You see what God meant for in the beginning. Matthew 24 from verse 34. I want everybody to read. Want to go? Alright, no. I think Matthew 25:34. I hope I'm right. Let's read together. One, two, go. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my father, you favored of God. Then he says what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from what? Let's see in the NKJV. Just the NKJV. Let's have it very literal. Alright? One, two, go. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom. What? Are you seeing this? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Meaning those who accept Jesus Christ and live in him and walk in his way. The Bible said at the end of time, what will happen? The Bible said they will inherit the kingdom. This is God's original plan from the very beginning. Because God doesn't change. Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Meaning from the very beginning, God wanted to have a kingdom through man. God wanted to have a kingdom through man. Or God wanted to extend his kingdom to the earth through man. We can put it like that. I think this is the best way. God from the beginning wanted to extend his kingdom to the earth through what? Man. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because the word dominion there is actually the word kingdom. Alright? So God wanted to rule the whole universe beyond the heavens. And he chose man from the very beginning. So when he created man, he said, I want to rule this world through you. Have dominion. And when God said have dominion, God is not saying man should do anything that is in his heart. No. God is saying, I want to do a lot of things on the earth through your rulership. So the Bible said God tested man and said, name all the animals. And the Bible said, whatever name Adam gave to the animals were their what? Names. Meaning God said, you got it. That's how I want it to be. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Man was not supposed to initiate a new thing upon the face of the earth. This is what was supposed to happen. God was supposed to rule through the mind of man upon the face of the earth. That's why the Bible says, have this mind that was in Christ. Alright, the Bible is saying we should have the mind of Christ. God wants to rule on the earth through us. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? He doesn't want you to create something new on the earth. He wants to rule the earth through you and I. And that's why Satan is fighting with a lot of ideologies, because Satan too wants to rule the earth. He's bringing man-made ideas. Satan is really determined to negate God's plan. He can come through any means, any kind of means. Listen to me very, very carefully. You know, most of you want to see Satan come to you through, I mean, literally the way you see in books with bat ears and horns. He would not come like that. He knows you will recognize him. He will come in ways that will be very difficult for you to recognize him. In fact, the Bible said Satan can come like Jesus. Did you read it in your Bible? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let's see the Bible in the book of Galatians. Open it for me, media. It said the devil can appear as an angel of light. Galatians 2. I think we have it more. We have another one in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Let's see this first one before we look at the other one in Galatians. We'll see it from verse 13. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Next part of scripture. Are you seeing this? See again from verse 13. Everybody, I want you to read. Want to go. Next part of scripture. Paul was warning us against falsehood. And he says, and no wonder, for Satan himself, what? Look at it. Satan came as an angel of light. Meaning Satan can transform himself into anything to get to your heart. He can come through an angel. The problem is this. If Satan comes as an angel or appears as anything that you hold there, how will you recognize that he's Satan? How would you recognize that he's Satan? Do you know there's a way to recognize it? Because he will come so beautiful and talk so gentle. But how do you know that this gentle being I'm seeing now is a devil? How do you know that? Galatians 1 from verse 8. Galatians 1 from verse 8. Let's see from verse 7. See it in the Amplified version. The Amplified version. Which is really not another gospel, but there are obviously some people masquerading as teachers who are disturbing and confusing you with a misleading and counterfeit teaching and want to distort the gospel of Christ, twisting it into something which is absolutely not. Next part of scripture. Then it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven, did you see that? Should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which is originally preached to you in the Bible, let him be what? Condemned to destruction. How do you know falsehood? They come and they don't tell you anything from the Bible. You see a being in the spirit and he comes and he's telling you something you can't find in the Bible. The Bible says it's from the devil. Even if they look like they are from heaven. Are you seeing that? Satan can go that far to deceive you. You know, we've seen people that said something appeared to them and told them to do this. They can't find the trace from the Bible, but they are practicing it. And you wonder why your life is confused. Holding on to a doctrine that you don't know the source of the doctrine. All you can say is that many years ago, a being appeared to us and told us to do this. Are you seeing this in the Bible? That even if they come from heaven, they claim, because they are not from heaven, even if they claim they are from heaven, and give you another gospel contrary to that which is in the Bible, what do you do? Tell them to get away. It's the devil. That's the way to recognize falsehood. If you don't know God's word, you will never recognize falsehood. If you don't know God's word, you will never recognize falsehood. There are some people that there are some other document now. They have other document in Christianity that is more valid than the Bible. There are people like that. You tell them this thing is not in the Bible, they will say it is in our book. Listen carefully. God is no respecter of no man. There is nobody in this world that is big enough to tell you something that you should follow outside the Bible. That person is not big. He's actually misleading you. Any person that will tell you to follow anything that is not in the Bible is not from God. And if you watch carefully, you will see the fruit that they are not from God. Listen, you will give account to God for your souls. Don't be foolish. You will give account to God for your souls. God will not hold anybody responsible for your foolishness. Look at what Paul told the church in Galatians 3. Let's read together in the Amplified Rendition. In fact, let's see it in the TPT. Galatians 3 from verse 1. To show you the height of Paul's anger. He said, what happened to you Galatians to be acting so foolishly? He said, you must have been under some evil spell. Then God opened your eyes to see the meaning of Jesus' crucifixion. Wasn't he revealed to you as a crucified one? Next part of scripture. It says, so answer me this, that the Holy Spirit come to you as a reward for keeping all the Jewish laws. No, you receive him as a gift because you believe in the Messiah. What was the problem? They had another wrong teaching that said when you follow all the Jewish laws, then the Holy Spirit will come into you because you are non-qualified. He said, no. He came to you by grace, lest any man should boast. You see, that was a wrong teaching in his days. He was against it. Even though it was believed and practiced by the Jews. Are you seeing this right now? Paul was a bold person. Look at Romans 10. Amazingly, see what Paul says. In Romans 10 from verse 1. The same rendition. Everybody read. One, two, go. Amazing. Amazing. Paul is praying for Israelites, Jewish people, to experience salvation. You know, some of us think that that is where God is forever. In fact, some of us feel if we get into that holy land, you know, a lot of people call it holy land. It's not like it's not a holy land. The land you are stepping right now to is a holy land because you are stepping on the land. But look at Paul praying for Jewish people to be saved because they had a lot of practices from Moses and etc. Moses even left the practices. In fact, before Moses left the earth, he said to them, he said, follow Jesus when he comes. When he tells you something contrary to what I've said, believe him. That's what Moses said in the book of Acts 7. That's what Moses said. Interestingly. You know, some people are wondering, really? Yes. The Bible says, look for that scripture for me very fast, media, if you can find it. It said, Moses, Jesus speaking to the Jewish people. It said, Moses set some laws to you because of the hardness of your heart. He said you were too stubborn. Moses had to bend because you people were too stubborn. You were making Moses scared. So he had to say some things to suit you people. He said, but in the beginning, it was not so. That's in the book of Matthew. They'll get it for us very soon. You'll see it. He said, Moses gave you some orders because of the hardness of your heart. But Jesus came and said, no, I will not follow exactly what I see there. You must do it the way it is from the beginning. Now, such laws is what we call in our today world, canon laws. I'm sure you've heard them. Man-made laws. Meanwhile, what did Jesus say about such human laws? Let's see in the same TPT rendition. Look at it. Moses permitted you to divorce because your heart are so hard and stubborn. Now, not divorce in the kind of woman condition we'll find us. You know, those days they can just stand up. There are some religion that still practice it. They'll just stand up and look at their wife and give them seki uku. Meaning they don't want the woman again. And remarry. It was learned from these guys. Now, they threatened Moses. Moses had to say, okay, it's okay. Do what you want to do. Jesus came and said, you people are still wrong. He was not scared to tell them they were wrong. He said, in the beginning, it was not what? You can't just stand up and tell a woman to leave your house. Jesus said, you are being foolish if you do like that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You cannot be under the influence of the Holy Spirit and look at a woman and say, I want another woman. No. Something is wrong with your mind. And Jesus was not scared to tell them. You know, there are some people now that will be telling us that I am an Idoma man, I'm an Igbo man, I'm a thief man. We don't marry one wife. You are being foolish. You are a kingdom man. Say, I'm a kingdom man. Before there was thief, there was kingdom. Before there was Idoma, there was God. God is more ancient than Idoma, Igede, Igbo, Igala culture. Are you listening to me? I've seen people that bring some useless practices in the name of culture and tell us to do it. That is against the Bible. Don't follow it. You will not die. There is no power in this world greater than the power of God. You know, some of them, they threaten you with witches and wizards and demonic things and you are scared. If you be scared, you will die. Listen, it is fear that kills people. It is not charm that kills people. It is fear. People die because of fear. It's in the Bible. Hebrews 2. Bible said in verse 14 and 15, he said, those who through fear were made captives by the devil. It is fear that kills. Fear is faith in Satan. Let me say it again. Fear is negative faith in Satan's power. Faith in the wrong direction. That's what we call fear. You want to get married, and someone is telling you to go and get bottles of alcohol. You say, no, I'm not getting it. He said, that's culture. He said, but there's a culture more ancient than your culture. Look at how you are cold. Because some of you don't have the strength to fight. Listen, we are talking about kingdom responsibility. It is a shame on you if you follow such practices. You are not a Christian. I remember one time somebody told me they are going to pour alcohol on one grave. In church, on our mother's grave, they are going to pour alcohol. I said, why? See, there are people who say they should come and do it. If not, she will not have peace. I said, if you do it, don't come back to this church. You are not a Christian. How can you go and pour alcohol somewhere? That's how some of you enter into trouble. Your mother is dead. What are you? Is she drinking the alcohol? Very useless cultures. Hallelujah to Jesus. And you are a kingdom citizen. Didn't you know the Bible said you've been called out from every tribe, people, and nation by the precious blood of Jesus? Do you believe that? How then will you do that kind of nonsense? There are some every Christmas they travel to go and perform certain rituals. I remember one of my friends was telling me about Aleku, Abi Oleku, Abi whatever ku. That the Idoma world, a part of the Idoma world, are scared of the guy. And the guy is even biased. The men can cheat, but the women cannot cheat. Something like that. What a biased God. And you know, some people can just say, our God, Aliku, our God, strong personal God. I've seen where two people were arguing which language have more demonic powers. Have you people seen people like that? Hey, we Igala, our which strong person are we too? You don't hear of no witch? Now we get which pass for this Nigeria. When are they learn from our side? Hallelujah to Jesus. That's rubbish. Are you listening? You are Idoma. You will not do one rite connected to Aleku. They say, why will you not do it? Say, I'm a Christian. Who is Aleku? Who the hell is the guy? If you look in the realm of the spirit, he has no head again. He's dead. You are the people making him alive. By your consciousness. I hope nobody is angry that I'm insulting their God. Are you here tonight? Are you understanding me tonight? Glory to God forevermore. Say, I'm a kingdom citizen. Shout it one more time. Say, I'm a kingdom citizen. So how do you determine falsehood? By the word of God. Paul says, if an angel comes to you, an angel comes to you, even if he claims he comes from heaven, and he comes and say another thing not in the Bible, tell the angel, get out in the name of Jesus. Many years ago on campus, I shared this experience one time. There was this young man coming to me every time. He said he's looking for power. He said, Pastor Simon, we need power for this generation. Power. I said, no lie, but we have it in the name of Jesus. He said, Pastor, that's not, I want raw power. And every day he would go and hide himself in a part of BSU, one part of our school, and he would pray and cry that he's looking for power. One morning in hostel, I was not living in the hostel. He ran to my house that morning. Immediately after the encounter, he said, while he was saying, Lord, power, 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 then he had an open vision. A being appeared to him. A fine woman, he said, fine, appeared to him. I said, I have come to give you power. And look at, you know, when you are desperate, you are just foolish and too eager for anything. She now said, open your mouth. I want to pour the power. True life story. He's a pastor today. When he opened his mouth, she poured the power and the thing tasted bitter. He now said, what kind of bitter power is it? How can somebody appear from heaven and be putting agbo inside my mouth? Is it agbo? So he just spit, pow! He said, who are you? That's when he knew who are you. He said, no, I've come to give you power. Then she said something. I'm the God of the Son. Something like that. I can't really remember. Then he said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. She now said, keep quiet. He rebuked her. She left. He ran, carried his slipper. He started running to my house. Go, 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 Pastor Simon. Go, go, Pastor. I opened the door. Then he sat down and started telling me, so, I will not look for power again. I said, okay. No, look for power. I said, we've received by the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You are going to shout for power. You've got the Holy Ghost. The fullness of God lives in you. Look at all these people. You see, you have the Holy Ghost. Look at how you behave. That's why some of you, they are pressing you in the night. They say you have the Holy Ghost. You don't know what you have. The Holy Spirit. And Aleku threatens you. Damn it. You don't know who you are. You know, they say you are a Christian, then one uncle in the village is the one watching you people in the spirit, guiding the whole family. You people report to the uncle every once in a while. He's taking database. He watches you people in the screen. Maybe they don't have screen there, in water. He will just, oh, I'm protecting Donald. Donald will not have accident. Jabradagozibahai. God forbid bad thing. You with the Holy Ghost, they are protecting you. What do you tell? If anybody brings that story to you, you say, no, tell that uncle I want to start protecting him. He's not protected. His God is limited. Some of us, especially in this day, we have that. There's one uncle protecting our family. You say, as long as I'm alive, none of you will die. It's a new God. God of heaven and earth. As long as I'm in this family, none of you will have accident. Then you will now say, yes, Uncle Sir. You now sow seed. God forbid bad thing. After all the promises, you will die. Then you will not be, I will not agree that you are dead. I will not agree that my brother, you have died. Even if he doesn't agree, he will calm down later. Don't be foolish. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I'm above only. You receive the fullness of the Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness, not some measure. How many of you pray in the Holy Spirit here? You receive the fullness. And if you don't pray, start praying. You know, some people say, we don't pray in tongues. We don't believe in praying in tongues in our church. Look at you. You created a church. You started a church. Men stood up with their biases and disagreed to things. And they made it a doctrine for your denomination. You are following. Just imagine me and him now. We are founders of two different denominations. Do you know the people are, they are building on our own biases. There are some things I'll see in the Bible, I will disagree with it. And I will now enforce my people to follow me. It will now become a doctrine for several years. Meanwhile, that thing is the truth. I don't know why people are getting on trying to explain to you. That's what is wrong with some denomination. A man many years ago disagreed to something and he's wrong. He's dead. You are still disagreeing with him. Some of them will put on their walls in their house. I was born a this, I'll remain it, I will die a this. Die and see. You'll be so shocked that in heaven nobody knows the name of what you are representing. You think in the realm of the Spirit there's a church called so-so church, that church? Don't be foolish. God is no respecter of no man. When he came to this world, it was the church that fought Jesus. Hope you know. The Pharisees, they're the ones that fought Jesus. Because they didn't like his preaching. That's why some churches don't like our preaching. It's the truth. You think if Jesus comes today, some people will not tell him, I don't believe you. Some people will tell him that we don't believe in our church. They'll be telling the owner of church that in our church. That's what happened in their days. Jesus came to his own. The Bible says his own word did not receive him. His own, his church. The church said, we don't want to. We don't like your message. And who frontiered the killing of Jesus? The church. The Pharisees, the priests. They said, kill him. And Pilate was amazed. Pilate, a Gentile. He was amazed. He washed his hand. His wife said, I had a bad dream. Oh, wash your hand from this man's death. He washed his hand. He said, I'm not part of this man's death. The priest, they shouted, let his blood be upon us and our children. That's how wicked religion can be. Satan can enter. Satan will always enter lies. When you start a lie, he initiates lies and he strengthens lies. It was Satan that made sure that they were subjected in their lie. For somebody to say, kill Jesus and his blood be upon us and our children, it was the devil speaking through them. Hope you know that. Okay, how did I know that? 1 Corinthians 2. What did the Bible say? Look at it. Put it up for me in media. In 1 Corinthians 2, the part of the scripture that says, the devil speaking, he said, if I had known, I would have known what? Crucified. Now, the Bible says it was Satan that was saying it. Meanwhile, in the epistles, the synoptic gospel, you will see the Pharisees shouting, kill him, kill him. But meanwhile, in 1 Corinthians 2, the Bible is saying that it was the devil. He said, if I had known, I would have known what? Crucified him. You see, meaning Satan flowed through them and frontiered the killing of Jesus. Religion is so terrible. It's backwardness. My Smurro of blessed memory said, nothing is more destructive in this world than religion. Nothing. You see somebody going to church, yet he's a clubber, a yahoo boy, a terrible sinner. He's in church. It is a religious atmosphere that will make somebody come to God, bow to God, and still go and bow to the devil. There are people that come to church and still worship Satan. They still use jazz. It is religion that can cause such a thing. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. It is religion. How can you tell me that somebody is 5 years a Christian? 5 years a Christian, yet living the same kind of life. He is practicing religion. You cannot encounter God and remain in your sin. 1 John 3 and 6. He said, you can't know me and continue in your sin. It's not possible. I mean, we have even pastors today. Many years ago, I used to stay in a big compound. And one of my neighbors met me and said, I saw my pastor today. I said, so what's my business? He saw his pastor in a beer parlor. That's why he's trying to make me understand. He went to drink and he saw his pastor drinking. And he was amazed. And he and the pastor, they greeted themselves. And they continued. And he said the pastor drank better than him. He was ordering more bottles. And he was amazed. He now asked me, why will a pastor be drinking? I said to him, why will you be drinking too? But that's not the point. He was so shocked. You know, a lot of people want to sin, but they don't want pastors to sin their sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you are sinning like this, you will not have a problem. See, pastor sin the sin. Eh? Sin that he just finished. Pastor did it. You say, no. God forbid. God forbid. As a Christian, you are a priest too. You are a witness too. Any sin you think a pastor should not do, don't do the sin. Else you are a false Christian. He was amazed. Reporting the pastor to me. And I smiled. And told him, it is the name of the Lord that is a strong tower, not the title we give to ourselves upon the face of the earth. You can wear white collar and still be a terrible sinner. Except you know the name of the Lord, you will never walk in freedom. And the Bible says, they that know the truth will what? Make them free. So you can be practicing religion and still be perishing. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Sin is a negation and Satan knows it. That's why he wants you eternally in sin. And I told you something at the beginning of this service. Satan will not come in obvious ways. He will never come in obvious ways. He will never come in a way you will figure him out. He'll come in a way that it will be very difficult for you to figure him out. Today when you tell somebody that thing is wrong, they'll say you are judging me. That's the devil. Making people emotionally unstable. I mean, a lot of pastors today cannot even tell people that listening to worldly song is bad. They don't know how to start the conversation because people will judge them wrongly. Meanwhile, if Jesus is in our generation, these are things he will highlight. He is the way. You cannot change him into the way you want. He is the way. You bend to the way. You conform to the way. The way does not conform to you. Are you listening to me? Look at what the Bible says about sin, for instance. Before we finish up this first service, let's see. In the NLT's rendition, let's see Ephesians 2 and 2. Ephesians 2 and 2. Let's read together. One, two, go. Everybody, can we read? One, two, go. Did you see that? If you refuse to obey God, who is at work in you? The devil. If you are in sin, who is at work in you? The devil. Let's see it in the TPT rendition. Want to go? You see what the Bible says? Religion. Customs and what? Values of this world. You see how religion is terrible. Obeying the word. Dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are what? Are you seeing that? It is the devil that controls anybody in sin. It is the devil. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Are you understanding me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Well, what did God do to us in the New Testament in Christ Jesus? Ezekiel chapter 36 from verse 26. This is a promise and it has already happened. Ezekiel 36 from verse 26. It was a prophecy that is manifested for us in Christ Jesus. Let's read together. Our word. You are not reading together. I want to go. Did you see that? A responsible and what? Obedient heart have I given you. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. A new nature. Verse 27. I will put my Holy Spirit. If you are not full of the Holy Spirit, you can't live for God. He promised that he wants to put his Holy Spirit in you. And the proof that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, is that you begin to pray in other tongues. There is no way you can live for God without the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said we cannot even represent him except we are full of the Holy Spirit. Let's see the Bible in the book of Acts 1. It's from verse 4. When they ask him about the kingdom, check it for me. Is it from verse 4? The disciples asked a question and he answered by telling them, you shall be full of the Holy Spirit and represent me in all the nations of the world. From verse 8. Want to go? Now let's see from verse 7 where they had a conversation. I think from verse 4 he's even making a lot of sense. Let's see from verse 4. That's where it starts. Everybody, I want us to read. Let's see in the Amplified rendition. Want to go? Next part of scripture. So Jesus is like, don't do ministry yet. Wait till you are full of the Spirit. Want to go? For John baptized, but you will be baptized and empowered. So Jesus is like, if you are baptized with water, don't stop there. Even if you have been baptized in water, wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you go just because you are baptized with water, you cannot do the work of the ministry. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Next part of scripture. So when they had come together, they asked him repeatedly, Lord! And what did he say? Next part of scripture. Read out loud. So forget about the time. Some of you looking for time. Jesus is coming next tomorrow. Forget it. What did he say? Verse 8. This is your job. But you will be what? You will receive the power. And you will be my witness. To tell people about me. Both where? And in what? And what? And even to the ends of the earth. God is like, forget about when he's... Go and take over the world. The earth is the Lord, its fullness, joy of what? The world and what? They that dwell in it. You belong to God. You can't afford to live for anybody else after listening to these things. Living for the devil, you are. It is obvious to you now that it is very, very useless. Are you seeing this? As a young child, 15, 16, 20, 35, 40, you've not started living until you begin to live for God. And listen, to serve God is very easy. To live for God is very easy. Are you seeing it? It is very easy. He said, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. It's not difficult. Anybody that tells you that serving God is hard is from the devil. The Bible said, God, Jesus said, my yoke is what? And my burden is what? In other words, if you find it difficult, you are not doing it the way you are supposed to do it. If you find it difficult. Let's see what the Bible says in 1 John 5 and 3. In the TPT rendition. Then you give me in the Amplified. I think we should just read it in the Amplified rendition. The Amplified. Can you relate it with the TPT just downwards? So that we read side by side. Now, want to go the Amplified. For the true love of God is this. That we what? And what? And his word? And his word? And not what? And not what? Is living for God difficult? God said it's not difficult. See the TPT. Want to go? Are you seeing that? It's very easy. Oh, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I want to do bad things. I just find myself liking to do bad things. Paul was telling us a story about his life too in Romans 7. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's read it together. Romans 7. I want you to be giving me side by side like this. Romans 7 from verse 13. Firstly, if you look at it now, go to verse 1 just briefly. The focal point is this. Paul is saying, I'm writing to those that want to live by a false teaching. Those that want to live by the law. Because Jesus came and he said, live by grace. But there were some people in the days of Paul that were saying that we must live by the law. Now see what Jesus talks about, says about such people. He said their worship will be vain. For instance, Matthew 15:9. The same way like this. Matthew 15:9. You read very fast. I want everybody to shout. That will come back here. Want to go. Is everybody in church? Let's shout one more time. The TPT rendition. Empty traditions of men. Empty traditions. So, now, staying within Amplified. God is saying that if you follow traditions of men, your worship of God will be in vain. You will say something and do another thing. You will not find strength to be able to do what you are saying. You will be singing, God, I love you, and believing, God, I hate you. Why? Because you are what? Following what? The traditions of men. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Traditions of men will kill you faster than anything in this world. It will kill you. You know, I was listening to somebody yesterday. He said, according to their tradition, they believe that when they die, God will give them 7 virgins. Then the interviewer is very funny. He now said, what will you do with the 7 virgins? He now said, I'm not so sure, but I think God is giving us as reward. He now said, what will you do with the 7 virgins in heaven? The man now kept quiet. How can you believe such a daft tradition? That you are living for God in this world so that your reward in heaven, 7 virgins. The tradition favors men alone. Okay, what do women have? 7 virgin boys. What a useless, illogically it's so stupid. Even if you don't know God, if you go to school, you will not be follow such a useless tradition. When they say, will you sleep with them? He could not even answer. He kept his mouth shut. He didn't want to talk it on TV. Very useless sexualized tradition. That they are living and their reward in heaven is 7 virgins. And the interviewer said, is that why some people die? He said, yes, that's why some people carry bomb and put and shout a name. And they die to have 7 virgins. Oh my God. You'll be disappointed in hell. Because they'll find themselves in hell. Weeping. A lot of gnashing of teeth. You know what? God, oh, why did I fall? The devil will ask them, you be mumu. Shey be mumu. They tell you, you'll come. Regret. Then he now said another one. He said, God will give them a lot of alcohol. They did not drink in this world, but God will reward them with alcohol in heaven. Are you seeing? If you are watching Repent, it's very, very bad that somebody will go to school, primary school, secondary school, university. You see, religion can make an intelligent man daft. You even have first class in mathematics, but you believe these things. You know, when we are growing up, there's what we call quantitative reasoning. It was a topic in primary school. Quantitative reasoning. There's no way you do that subject and believe these kind of things. That's not enough. The other foolish one is the ones that believe that blood of chicken can give them money. Yahoo boys. Blood of chicken. Have you ever seen a successful Yahoo boy? Some of you will say yes. No. Most of them, the money they have, they are not prepared for it. So the money kills them. They don't know the value of the money. It's Dorime. They go and take alcohol and it kills them back. Imagine I carry 1 billion and give this young boy here, or I give my junior brother Mike 1 billion. I've killed him. There's no way he will not die in 1 week. Because what will he do? Chocolate, minerals, Five Alive, Benz, PS5. All the things that will make him focus in hell. Many years ago, a preacher taught us this. He said, you will be praying. You know why God has not blessed some people? Because God knows that the thing will kill them. Imagine you give a Hausa boy, a Kaduna, somebody that grew in Kaduna, you give him, he's not matured, you're not giving him 1 million. He will buy Five Alive and drink. Oh, till he now have obesity and die. Traditions of men. That's not enough. I'm coming somewhere. There are some that believe they are not qualified to pray to God, that somebody should pray to God through for them. Because you, God created you, he doesn't like your face. And your mouth is smelling. He cannot hear you. There are some people he can hear. Even the disciples made that mistake. They said, Jesus, pray to the Father on our behalf. Jesus turned to them and said, who? Don't you know that the Father himself loves you? If Jesus refused to pray for us, who should pray for us? Nobody! That is why they are still sick. You have cancer. Somebody is praying for you. You know, have you seen a lot of religious people die? I don't want to share that story, but I had an experience. Somebody related to my mate one time. We went there. I said, I want to lay hands on this woman. She was holding on to some things on her hands. She said she was praying to. I said, let her allow us lay hands on her head. She refused. She held on to her practices. She died. Very young woman died because of her beliefs. Tradition is a killer. Religion is a killer. Religion is a killer. Listen to me carefully. That is why I'm not scared to tell you this truth. I've seen good people die in the name of religion. You know, some people say, Pastor Simon, if you look at it carefully, revivalists in the physical and in the spiritual are quite stubborn. Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther, Reverend Father Martin Luther too. They were all quite stubborn in their approach. Listen, you cannot break out of tradition without stubbornness. As I'm talking like this, some people will still insult me. But I'll be stubborn to preach it tomorrow. Because that's the only way we break out of it. I know what I'm teaching you. Because I will report to Jesus, not to you. The truth is that if you follow these things, keep on following them. What are you saying? Pastor Simon, you are saying rubbish. You will meet God tomorrow. And you'll be very disappointed in yourself at the end. It's the truth. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. We've seen good people die. A lot of them die. You know, one time there was this young man. Let me try to close. He was doing big boy that he doesn't believe in God. Then suddenly, people from their house started dying. Every November, somebody will have sickness and die. In my office. A man came to my office and said, sir, My elder sister just died. I said, die? What happened? He left church for a long time that he didn't like me talking about preaching and praying in tongues. That I'm making some of them feel like they are not qualified Christians. So I said, die? He said, yes. I said, what happened? He now told me that every November, mysteriously, related family will just be dying. Now it has entered their family. His elder sister just died. He said, I'm the one following her. He said, and my body, something started that I've never observed before in my body. I wanted to laugh, but I wanted to be a good, disciplined pastor. So I said, okay, so you want to be born again? He said, yes, sir. As I was leading, he said, sir, can I pray in tongues too today? I said, no, wait, let's be born again first. He said, no, yes, you are giving me the born again. Give me pray in tongues. I said, you want to pray in tongues? I said, okay, come to Tuesday service. He said, sir, please, can I do it now? Now. I said, you want to pray in tongues now? He said, yes. I said, but you have not learned. He said, sir, teach me now. Please, pray for me now. Please. I said, okay, this is what happens. He said, sir, I understand. I will receive it. I promise you. He raised his hands up. Before I laid my hands, the Holy Ghost has filled him. He prayed on the ground. I was just sitting and looking at him. Death was what made him to have sense. Death. Is there some people that are telling us, yeah, praying. Let trouble come, you'll be amazed. Let trouble come knocking on the door, you'll be amazed. How many times have we seen people like Nicodemus leave their church and come to us and say, Master, Pastor, how can this thing happen? How many times have we seen? Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, if you know the truth will what? Make you free. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is true freedom. This is true freedom. I know a story of a young man who traveled to the village. They say one uncle was killing people in their house. One uncle. They now say he should not come. He should not, because he has made it. He came back from the US. Don't come. Or if you come, it was a barrier for his mother also. And he said he had to be there. They advised him. He still came. They didn't know that the guy has become born again. And he's now full of the Holy Spirit. As he landed, they were saying, don't move around. We don't want this uncle to see you. You know, I'm wondering, how can you know an uncle killing people and he's still moving without nobody touching him? It happens in Africa. No, that uncle is the one killing people. And the uncle will come like this. And everybody's even serving him food. They are scared of their death. The guy said, I want to shake him. They said, somebody knelt down the mother's sister and started begging him, please. He just walked away. Went to the man. Uncle, how are you? He threw his arm. As the man was bringing, he shook him and hugged the man. The guy died the next day. He died from a sudden hug. You touch us by mistake, you die by correction. He died. The man did not plan to kill him. He wanted to hug him. He hugged him. The power neutralized and killed him. Cursed are those that curse you. Blessed are those that bless you. See, the power of God is real. How many times have I sat in my house and see demonic things? And look, just look, they run. You think I'm lying? Just look. Open my eye. I see you. And they run for their life. I see you. Don't hide. In fact, that was in the past. Now, nothing. If you come to my room, you walk. You mop the house. Oh, I like a man called Smith Wigglesworth. Was in his parlor and a demon was scattering plates in the kitchen. You know, some of you used to be in those big houses that you'd be in the house. You now hear something happening in one room. You go there and not see anybody. I'm reminding some of you of some incident. Smith just went. He didn't see nobody. He went back. As he went back, plate was still scattered. He went. The third time the Holy Ghost told him he's a demon. He now came. He said, arrange everything back and get out. As he went and sat down and came back, everything neat. The demon ran for his life. The things which are not seen are more real. Have sense. They are more real. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The things which are not seen, they are more real than the things which are seen. I know what I'm telling you. Hallelujah to Jesus. You can't afford not to live for God. It is very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. We are kingdom citizens. And now it's time to prove the kingdom upon the face of the earth. Be not conformed to the systems of the world. But be what? Let me say this last thing before we go. I remember a lady came to my office that she wanted her brother to be healed. Saved. The brother was about to join a cultism group. Because you know that thing is plenty in Makodi. Very, very plenty. He was about to join a cultism group and somehow, when he joined and came back, after the beatings and the rest, you know, they beat you terribly. He now fell sick. So when the sister approached him, he said he tried to join, was telling her everything, and they beat him, and that's why he's sick. And she started praying, and you know, he was vomiting blood. That is why, listen to me, people of God, to train a child is not to be giving him ice cream when he wants ice cream. Burger when they want burger. The Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. It's not necessarily flogging them. It is enforcing a rulership over them to do it by force. For instance, I don't want to go to boarding school. Force him. For him to say, I don't want to go to boarding school. Go to boarding school. I will die if I go and die. I don't want to go. Okay, don't go. Don't go. You have killed that soul. Listen, I know what I'm teaching you. When you want to see the devil kill somebody, it is very obvious. What is making you run from boarding school? He knows if I go there, they will constrain me. I will be disciplined. He's seen himself change. He doesn't want to change. No, I want mommy's life. I want daddy's life. You want ice cream. You raise a non-entity. Tomorrow will not be able to even take care of his wife. The Bible says when you are a child, you do anything you want to do. He said, but when you grow up, one takes you by the hand and take you to where you don't want to go to. Jesus will take you to where you are not going. You don't want to go, he will push you there. That's how you train up a child. As a woman, even if you are the only one raising your child as a woman, carry the father spirit sometimes and raise your child. A woman alone cannot raise a child. I always say it. When a child falls down, a woman will come and say, oh, what hit your leg? Sorry, baby. What will a man say? Why did you fall? That's what a man will tell you. Say, why did you fall like that? Make sure there's a father figure spirit, even if you are the only one raising your child as a single mom. Sometimes, burn your face. Have you ever seen a father, a child fall, a boy especially, you fall down, the father now say, oh, somewhere, sorry. It's very hard. The father will be angry that you are falling anyhow. Why are you falling like a woman? Are you a woman? What will a woman do? Hey, somewhere, sorry, were you hurt? Bring me the first head, boss. That's why God's love came in a father figure. It's called the father's love, not the mother's love. Father's love. Some of you know me in this church. You can't misbehave. It's not possible to misbehave. If you don't like it, you do it. You know us. That's why you will not have idiots rise from this ministry. It's not possible. There's one boy in our church sleeping with women. You will never hear it by in the name of Jesus. When we catch you, we will kneel down. You will pray in tongues. Oh, to the demon, leave you. We will not catch you doing it. We will catch you in the attempt. That's how serious our administration here is. We will catch you. Somebody said, but Pastor Simon, I know what to do. You will not catch me. Just try it and see. Have the thought. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. Not by power, not by might, by the Spirit. Ask those that have catch. They will tell you, just pass from it. Come. Let me see your phone. Sir, please, they are trying to delete. Bring that phone. What? Sir, I'm sorry. That was your deliverance. It's not like God wanted to disgrace you. He that conciliates a sin, the sin kills him. A lot of times, if God wants to help you, listen to me, he will expose you. They will catch you red-handed. Bam! You now start crying like your own is finished. God is trying to help you. That's why they caught you. When the day they caught you stealing meat, you think that was your death warrant? You are a good boy. Your mother thinks you are a good boy. Every day your mother sees you as a good boy. One day your mother now caught you talking to a girl. I love you. I swear to God, I love you more than my mother. Your mother. And your mother is like, Jesus Christ. You love me more than, you love somebody more than me. You have not married. Say, mommy, I'm just lying to her. Your mother will not know that she has not been training you well. What will she say? Give me that phone. Now another level of training because God wants to help you. Some of you, they seize your phone. You think they've seized your life. It's for your life, your destiny to be bright. If you hold phone now, you will die and go to hell very early. That's why they've seized the phone from your hand. It's for a justful cause. If your neighbor is not happy, you can tell God just whipped that neighbor. Amen. So just fake a smile. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be not conformed to the systems of the world, but be transformed. I didn't finish my story. That lady, while she was in my office, I said, how do you pray for your brother? I was concerned because she comes to church. And while she was telling me how she prays for her brother, I can be that practical. Her song, her phone rang. Her ringing tone was, one thing they don't, they do one thing. Brother, they don't, they do one thing. Fam. It was a Davido's song. And I said, okay, I understand now. She said, Pastor, sorry. She wanted to end the call. I said, no, pick the call. I wanted to boot and talk to her. She was talking. When she just dropped the call, I said, your brother will never be healed. So why will you say a thing like that? I said, how can pure and impure water flow from the same fountain? You want God to flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do you know the healing God wants to do for your brother will come through you? Unto him that can do exceedingly abundantly above all we have ever what? According to his power. Where is that power? At work in us. You want God to flow from you and touch your family. And you are listening to a song. A worldly song. Flowing from your same mouth. Brother, you don't do one thing. The next thing, it shall be permanent. How will it work? It will never work out well. You think it's a joke? If God opens some of you, the reason why you have misbehaved and made mistakes is worldly songs. You will not believe it. What you watch has a great deal to do with what happens in your heart. Yes, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The images we see create thoughts and ideologies in our heart. Worldly song. Wrong music. You have a child. The child is watching Big Brother Ninja. The mother sits with the child. That's so shameful. You will cry tomorrow. It's a promise. You must cry tomorrow. When people are celebrating their children, you'll be crying for your own. Because they'll bring you a granddaughter very, very soon. You think you love them. You must take responsibility now. I told her. When I told her, she got offended. I said, you can't be listening to these songs. Say, Pastor, does it mean that if I listen to this song, God will not hear my prayer? I said, yes, he will not. He cannot. It will not even cross the first heavens. Because he wants to flow through you. And you're not in the right place. You are supposed to be seated together with Christ. That's where the anointing flows from. But with these songs you are hearing, you are distracted. She got offended. Listen, 2 weeks later she ran to my office. The brother was dead. I'm not excited sharing this story. He died. I felt like slapping her. She stopped church. I love my... You cannot love in the physical. You can only love in the spiritual. It is when you know Jesus that you can truly love people. Love is not what this foolish worldly sacrifice. Love goes beyond all of those things. Are you listening to me? He died. Sad story. Be not conformed to the systems of the world, but be what? Transformed by the word, renewal of your mind. Don't be ashamed to say no. Don't be ashamed to say no to worldly standards. Do not be ashamed. If it will take only you, stand for Jesus. I remember, not to just feel proud, on my wedding day, the court wedding. Some of you were there. You saw the drama. The woman told me to kiss my wife. I said, this is not church wedding. I don't see it as an important wedding than church wedding. It is when Christ put his hand upon me that I can know that I'm married. I said it in my heart, not to her. So I said no. She said, if you don't kiss, we'll not give you a certificate. I weighed the options. See, our bridges have been burnt. It's not possible. I said, ma, I will not kiss her. I thought the only thing that concerned we and court is to give us the vows. And why are you forcing me? In my heart. So I said, no. People came, the in-laws, just peck her, do it small on her lip, just warm. I said, no. I will not. She didn't say we should shift after we have done. We shifted. So me, I've already prepared my mind that after this one now, we'll consider we have wasted the money, no problem. Then after church wedding, where God has blessed our wedding, and we kiss, we can now go there, and if they want us to kiss, we'll kiss again. I've already made up my mind. But the Holy Ghost told me to walk. So I started checking laws of Nigeria where they said we must kiss in court. I wanted to know my strong reason. I wanted to know whether I should scatter that court or I should keep quiet. So I was checking the laws of the nation. And I saw that it's not written anywhere that you must kiss the woman. What spiritual stature does she have to make? You can't join my wedding. You are just a court. You don't have what it takes. I refused. She just called us to come and sign. Say, I'm just giving you. Let me tell you now. It's not because I'm just giving you. Maybe too, I'm just collecting. Some of you are looking at me. If you cannot do this, marry in church before you do court wedding. I remember she made a statement. What was that statement? She now said, you want to tell me you have never kissed this woman before? I said, yes. I said, God forbid! So you have not joined your mouth to do something. For that woman to believe that is not possible is because she too, before she married, she did it. Oh, she not married. They don't believe in that. People that advised me to kiss my wife, after I refused and they gave me certificate, they came to my ear when we were snapping picture. I'm proud of you. You are a Puritan. I just looked at it. Thank you. This is the person that said, just kiss I'm small, pastor. When I finish, say, Kai, no, I like how you keep your faith. It's a strong faith. The same people that will tell you to do bad things, do it and see. I told you my experience in BSU. They gave me expo, I refused. The guy likes me so much. He threw the expo from first seat. They passed that expo, Mass 102. They passed it. He came to my table. Bam! I opened it. He has stick from one to the last one. When I raised my head, he said, pastor. He said, I just returned it back. Everybody was scared. They were just throwing it. I said, no, I'm not doing it. Let me tell you, I had carryover in that course. I wrote it again and got a B. I was proud of the carryover. If you keep on cheating in school, you will not be able to cheat in life. Except you want to cheat in school and cheat in life. Who told you the success of school is reciprocal to the success of life? It's not the same thing. Except you want to be cheating in school, when you finish, you'll be cheating in this world and having your way. Else, trust Jesus. I'm not saying don't read well, but if a third class is what you could afford, come out with that third class. God will glorify himself with that third class. How many people have first class today? Where are they? Where is their job? You with 2-1 that you cheated your way from 100 level with your strong 2-1. Where are you today? What are you learning now? Talk the truth. Bake it. Some of them, POS. It's not like we are condemning you. Even Christians, they cheat in exam. You see who talk. Parapapapa. You gotta die. God is not in this one or in school. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. The Lord bless His words in our hearts. Bow your heads and thank the Lord for His word. Give Him all the praise. Worship Him. Bless His name. Your name is to be hallowed, Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. From the rising up to the setting. Your name is to Adonai. From the rising of the sun, from the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. One more time. From the rising of the sun, from the your name is to be hallowed. From the rising of the sun, from the light to the setting of the sun, your name is to be hallowed. Adonai, sing your name, we worship you. One more time. Adonai. From the rising to the setting of the same, your name is to be Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be heard. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be. Casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing hands, is all we've come to do. Let your kingdom reign, God. Cast in cup, lift him, bowing her. It's all we've come to. Out the night, out the night, out the night, out the night. You reign on high. Out the night, out the night, out the night. Casting crowns, casting, lifting hands, bowing heart. Hey, casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing heart. Hey.
The king, yeah, KBSC. We the glad, oh, KBSC. Yeah, yeah,
Your Majesty, King of ages, you are the ancient of days. Your throne is established with justice and righteousness. Lord, you great are you, and great is thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your presence. You are King of our lives. Your kingdom reign. Your kingdom reign.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.